Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jane, who's agreed to be with us this afternoon to talk about her experience of working with an awareness coach. Welcome, Jane.
Thanks very much, Jen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So I thought we might start out by just asking kind of what spurred you to decide to take that step, to choose to work with an awareness coach as part of your practice.
Thank you. I think originally I started this about 4 or 5 months ago, and I had dug out my deepening practice plan and was looking at it.
Hey, Jane, can I interrupt you for 1 minute? It's a little bit hard to hear you. I don't know if that's just me. Michael, are you there? I wonder if you could give us a second opinion on whether it's hard to hear Jane.
Just a little bit.
Okay, so I happen to know where Jane is. Jane's at the monastery. So she's facing the usual technical challenges we sometimes have. So, Jane, I wonder if you moved closer to sort of the back door of the room where you are and spoke into the phone. We might be able to hear you better.
Okay, no problem.
So, anyway, you were saying?
How does this sound?
That's better. Thank you.
Right, okay. Yes, I about 4 or 5 months ago, I was looking at my deepening practice plan, which I put together at the beginning of the year, and was kind of feeling it was going okay, but how much easier it would be if somehow I was accountable or had someone else to talk it through with or check in with.
Uh-huh.
And it just occurred, I think, that Sherry had once or twice started to mention the awareness coaching program on Sangha Market, so that just kind of dropped into awareness, and I went online, checked it out, and it just became obvious that that was the step to take.
Oh, that is really fun. I don't think I've really ever made that connection, so I'm going to reflect back partly so that I can make sure I'm hearing you and other folks can too, but that, so you had your deepening practice action plan, you had it all laid out, great, excited about it, lots of good stuff in it, but realized that what could be really of assistance is to have something that would keep you accountable to it. And that Sherry had talked about the Awareness Coaches program on the radio show, and when you went on Sangha Market to look it up, you just realized that's the obvious thing to do to help you with that.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where I didn't really know exactly what the format of it would be.
Uh-huh.
It just became in that way that you said I was giving you that opportunity, so you just say yes and sign up to it, knowing that it's going to help you through.
In fact, it's funny as you say that. In my experience, often those yeses are the best kind.
Yes.
Because conditioning has no idea how it's, you know, it can't kind of make a plan around it and decide this and decide that, but there's just this sense of life going, yeah, that direction. Don't have any idea how it's going to look, but let's do that.
Exactly. And as it turns out, it's turned out to be so much more than just the accountability. It's brought so much more than I could ever really expected of the process.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, maybe you could tell us a little bit about how that's gone.
Yeah. So I think what I'm really finding is that there is such a sense of support and also connection with practice and with Sangha through these check-ins, so that I do a call on a weekly basis. And
you do a call on a what basis to do that?
On a weekly basis.
On a weekly basis, okay.
And then I check in midweek through with an email.
Mm-hmm.
So what I really feel is that in some way I'm connected to somebody else and supported by somebody else in the practice environment in an almost almost a day-to-day basis, it feels like, because I'm either just about to have a call or just about to write an email to check in.
Uh-huh.
It feels like there's almost a constant reminder.
Yeah.
Support's there.
Yes. And even that, I'm projecting part of what you're saying is, so the call itself, the weekly call that you have and then the weekly email check-in that you have, those two things in themselves are a great support. And then the in-between times leading up to it where you know, okay, I'm going to be writing this email, or I'm going to be having this call, how you bring heightened awareness to what's going on because you know you're going to be writing about it or speaking about it.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it, and that's where the and that's where the accountability and the support, you know, become very closely meshed together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just incredibly useful to have that almost constant focus.
Yeah, it's incredibly helpful to have that nearly constant focus.
And what I also find with the calls themselves is I'm also in the reflective listening buddy practice, and I find that really, really helpful. But it's a different format in the other person obviously is just mirroring what you are saying to give me the opportunity to see what I'm saying. And the difference with the awareness coaching is that I will talk through some content and a process and just be given the extra bits of push to see the next thing, which is fantastic. It means that it really gives me something to explore in that week between the calls.
Yeah, that's a great point, that reflective listening buddies in itself is a really real support for coming to attention and bringing awareness to what's going on with us, and that the Awareness Coaches program has that added element of the Awareness Coaches really assisting you, not just mirroring you, but assisting you to see what might be a next step that could be a focus for the coming week as you go forward.
So typically I would start with a little piece of content, say the type of process what I've been seeing about that in terms of a practice approach, and then be prompted to look a little bit deeper around that and at that.
Yeah, and that the coaches are working directly with Sherry, so that there's a real, obviously the guide doesn't have the resources to be directly in contact with all of us, but that it's really a chance to be coached by someone who's being coached by the guide. So it's all really within practice and within the privileged environment and that sort of thing.
Exactly, yes. And that's part of, I really enjoy the nature of that relationship. It feels like I'm kind of on an adventure with somebody who knows that little bit more than me about what to look for or where to go. You know, it feels like a real kind of partnership in some ways of exploration, and that's and it's a really enjoyable relationship, as well as obviously it's very clear that Sherry's kind of been supporting and coaching the awareness coaches behind the scenes as well.
That's a great image for it, kind of being on this adventure together with a guide who might, you know, have seen some of the trail ahead and can assist you in taking those next steps. And one of the things I love about that image, and it feels like it goes all the way through practice, all the way up to the guide, is that there are no experts and learners. We're all doing this together. And that all any of us can ever do, you know, it's what the Buddha taught, is to, you know, give each other a hand, shine a light, but we can't do it for each other. And there isn't anyone who has the answer for me. It's all a process of assisting each other in looking.
Exactly, and that really resonates with the kind of theme around the spirit of inquiry and that kind of sense of curiosity, of adventure, of exploration. And, you know, there's a lot of fun in that.
A lot of fun, yeah, that is really fun. And such a great tool. I mean, you know, ironically, here you are with us at the monastery right now having these technical difficulties when normally you're halfway around the globe from us. So it's another way that people who are really far away and not able to come to the monastery maybe as much as they'd like can be supported in that in their daily practice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also not able to participate in a sitting group, and so I kind of don't have a weekly liaison with other members of Sangha through that medium either. But for me, this is this is a great opportunity. It's like I don't even have to leave my room, and I'm able to to share and get some guidance on things that I'm looking at. And it just seems to me an incredibly helpful thing to do. There's a small charge for it, part of which I think goes to the monastery, and sometimes other parts of that will support the awareness coach's own practice. And I just look at that as well. I would be spending at least half of that amount on transportation to go to group or to do something else.
Yeah.
So it seems to me to be, you know, it's a kind of, it's just a win-win-win all around, really.
Well, that's another great point, that it's just, for people who don't have a local sitting group, it can be a nice, in lieu of that, have this weekly support, and that's where the financial contribution can go. And as you say, it not only supports the monastery, but perhaps supports the practice of this particular individual, which supports all of us.
Exactly. And that, I just feel, it seems important to me that the process also supports somebody else in their practice. That seems to be very much in keeping with what it is to be part of Sangha. Actually, that some of that money isn't necessarily all going to the monastery, but actually that person themselves is able to use it to continue their journey and their exploration. And I just find that very touching.
Yes, all the myriad ways that when any one person is practicing in the Sangha, it's benefiting other folks in so many different ways. Yep.
So I'm incredibly enthusiastic about the project, and I'd really recommend it to anybody who's even tempted.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to talk about it, because kind of like you said, I know for a lot of folks they probably hear about it, but it feels like, what exactly is that? So that's really helpful to have a concrete experience put to the name of the program. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thanks for being with us, Jane.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, time for the show, I guess, huh?
Yes, that was wonderful. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. Pleased to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. Nice to be here with you.
Yes, me too. That was fun to get a kind of inside the program view of what's going on there.
It was, and I really, really enjoyed that image of it being on an adventure together. You know,
yes.
And on the adventure, there is, it's so handy to have someone who knows the trail a bit and can kind of be the leader, but the leader is also on the adventure. It's, you know, it's not a hierarchy. It's not a one person knows the deal and the other one doesn't. We're on the adventure together.
Yes, and I really appreciated that distinction that you made there, that we all, someone can point the way for us, perhaps many times, and it's up to us to take that step and find out for ourselves to step into our own adequacy.
Yeah. You know, and it's back to 1 year as an organization, one of the years when we did the Best Year Yet process, one of our guidelines was willing to lead, willing to be led. And that comes up so often in practice that I was just looking at that with someone the other day, that process of, you know, maybe one day things are clicking, I'm just right here, and people sort of draft off me in practice, and another time, not so much. I'm the person who needs to draft, and there's someone else who's really right there at center, and they're ready to take the lead. So it's a neat thing.
Yeah, it is an extraordinary thing, indeed. I know Sherry often uses that analogy of the Canadian geese flying through the air, and the one at the front is leading the way, and then that one gets tired, and someone else takes its place.
Yep. Good.
Great. Jen, I have one announcement here.
Okay.
Annual New Year's Retreat with Sherry is coming up, December 27th through January 1st. We're in a new location in Menlo Park, California. Spacious wooded grounds and private rooms with attached private baths.
Can't say that too many times, huh?
I know. Yeah.
I guess we keep saying this also, but I'm pretty sure it's filling up fast. So, you know, people should hop on it if they're still interested.
Yes. And like previous years, it includes meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with Sherry, delicious vegetarian food, and free time to spend in nature on the center's grounds there.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, me too. And you can find out more information or sign up at schedule.livingcompassion.org for that retreat and some other events coming up as well.
Great.
And we have some callers there.
Perfect.
Yes, which reminds me to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Great. Excellent.
So let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a calling because I have a self-sabotaging pattern that goes on, and it's just very enraging and frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's about I sometimes will schedule appointments for myself during the afternoon time when I really need to be resting because of an illness I have. And if I don't get to rest, it's really bad. And I end up suffering a lot. But sometimes I guess it's maybe a subpersonality and feels like I try to accommodate other people's schedule. And I go ahead and I schedule an appointment in the afternoon. And every time, and like the accommodating person who's doing that scheduling to accommodate somebody else, you know, just kind of thinks, oh, it'll be all right. Oh, it'll be all right, you know, if I don't get a chance to rest. And it's never all right.
Never all right. Yeah. So what have you experimented with to kind of thwart, to sabotage the sabotage, as it were?
I need some suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, the first one that came up for me is both, so on the outside of your calendar, do you have like a planner or how do you do your scheduling?
Yes, I do. I have like a little day planner book.
So a big, huge, beautiful, catch your attention sign on the outside that states that it doesn't work to make afternoon appointments, and maybe even something there like, you know, let's not do it because I love you, or, you know, whatever would really kind of catch your attention and make you a little warm fuzzy kind of as you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then truly to open up your calendar to the, how often do you, like when you make an appointment, is it usually 3 weeks out, 6 weeks? Is it far in advance or how does that go?
It could be, you know, within that next day or the next week, or it could be any amount of time.
Okay. So maybe, you know, at the sort of halfway through a month, so we're halfway through October. So October 15th, you turn to your November calendar, and on every single afternoon, you write no appointments, no appointments, no appointments, no appointments. And that way, if you're going to overwrite it, you're going to have to really overwrite it. You know what I mean? You're going to have to bring a lot more consciousness to it, a lot more awareness to it than might be happening right now.
Okay. I can definitely, those are two good ways, two good suggestions. I just feel leery that the, I don't know if it's like an impulsive little kid or some part of me that does this. I'm afraid they're going to like grab the, like Sherry talks about, grab the wheel again.
Yeah.
But.
Yep. Now, I don't know this, Beth. You'll have to kind of experiment to see, but given the kind of strength of it that you're describing, it sounds to me like it might not be a part of you. That it might just simply be egocentric karmic conditioning coming in to find such an effective way to create suffering for you.
Does EKC say, oh, like we have to accommodate people or something like that?
It sure could. I mean, sure. I mean, it can put on the clothes of anything that will get you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Because what it sounds like you're realizing is that you're clear that you need to be accommodated in the afternoon. right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that needs to be what gets accommodated. And then it sounds like, so when you're going to accommodate, quote, accommodate, someone else's, I guess what it would be, the health practitioner, whoever you're going to see or whatever process that would be, that accommodating your, in this stage of your illness, your need to rest is more important than the appointment. So even if you have to give up the appointment, even if you have to say, okay, yes, I would be accommodating the person to have the, in order to have this appointment, I really want the appointment, it sounds like you're at a point where you need to say, I'm not going to have the appointment. I'm either going to have it in a morning or I'm not going to have it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's like, it could be someone who has to come to the house to work on something like that. But I think that's pretty much it in general, yeah.
I see. Gotcha. So like a plumber or something like that?
Yeah, and of course, if it's an emergency, then I don't get my rest, and that's okay. That it's
yeah.
nothing I can do, but it doesn't enrage me and frustrate at me like when...
Different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, and that's interesting, Beth, you know, when you said that, because a bit of what just came up, I projected as you said that, was, you know, when life just happens, whatever, the pipe bursts, and the plumber just has to come over, and it's in the afternoon, there isn't that rage because it's just life happening. But that when you're talked into accommodating someone else and putting something in the afternoon, you realize that it doesn't serve you, you know? And in a funny sort of way, it's not fair. I mean, literally, ego is rolling over you.
Ego is rolling over me.
Yeah. Because you're very, very clear that you don't want to do that. You don't want to have things scheduled in the afternoon. But there's this force that keeps coming in and almost sort of doing that against your will.
Yeah, and it makes me so mad. Like, oh, I screwed myself again.
Well, and there's a language change, isn't there, that could really assist you. Oh, ego did that to me again.
Ego did that to me again. Okay.
You see? Begin to call it for what it is instead of, oh, I did that to myself again, which can have that sort of what's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? Why can't I stop? To at least as a first step, begin to call it what it is. Oh, ego interrupted my need to rest again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, and let us know, because that's a really sort of could be fun and interesting, very concrete one to really practice with and begin to, you know, as you are able to really see what's going on, I project what's going to happen is you're going to be able to make the choice you really want to make, and that making that shift will then be available to you in other content areas of your life.
That would be nice. And one of the reasons I wanted to call in is because I don't want it to be one of these situations where I'm upset and then I don't do the pattern for a while because I'm upset
right.
and I'm on guard, but then I drop my guard and then
yep.
I make the mistake again.
Yep, yep. And that's why I think something like writing in your calendar every single month. And that's very wise what you're saying. Not just for right now, quote, when it's a problem, but keep doing it for a year. You know, keep doing it, because what it will slowly want to do is kind of, you know, oh, that's not an issue anymore, talk you out of it, and then before you know it, it's happening again.
Wow, for a year. Okay.
And do you have a recording and listening practice?
It's defunct right now.
Okay. Well, this could be a really fun, really small, simple one to pick up. Record
okay.
onto your recorder. I don't want to make any appointments in afternoons. Here's why. You know, you could even talk to the person who needs to rest in the afternoon and explain to her how you're committed to taking care of her and da-da-da-da-da, and then listen to it every morning when you wake up.
Okay,
just
thank
a short
you.
Recording. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling, Beth.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Jen.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello there, Jen. It's Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeffrey. How are you?
Just wonderful. I've been enjoying the show so much so far.
Oh, great.
I wanted to talk a little bit about something that Sherry was talking about last week, this sort of maybe a bit of a change in focus for the recording and listening and sort of different kinds of recordings coming up around that. Sort of.
Yeah, we've been talking about it at the monastery ever since. Yeah.
I have to say it was the phrase that comes up is mind-blowing.
Yeah, I agree.
It just dramatically changed my recording and listening so much.
Wow, that's really fun. Tell us.
Well, it seems like partly, you know, I have recordings that are reassurances for a young part of myself, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're very nice to listen to sometimes. But in a way, I sort of came to this point where I realized there's a difference between sort of reassuring a young part of myself through the adult world.
Yeah.
The difference between that and being the adult and stepping forward and doing adult things, you know?
I do. Oh, I do. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, same.
And so the recordings now are more like, you know, colleague recordings, equal sort of recordings.
Did you say colleague?
Yeah, it sort of feels like we're kind of on the same page,
yeah.
The mentor and I. You know?
Yeah. And do you feel comfortable giving us a little kind of feel for what you mean there?
Yeah. You mean like an example?
Sure, yeah.
Might be helpful, yeah. So instead of a recording of, you know, I love you just how you are, you're beautiful just like this, which are wonderful to have,
mm-hmm.
It's more recordings like something specific is happening that day, and a reminder that I don't have to change myself, I don't have to change the other person, I can show up and be available.
Yeah.
You know, which is something you wouldn't say to a little kid.
Right, yeah. You know? And there are two things that really strike me about that, Jeffrey. One is that it's, you know, you said a minute ago that it's one thing to be mentoring a child through an adult world. And as I've been looking at that from last week's show and then as people have been talking through the week, you know, we don't really even want to do that in the sense of we don't want that little person to be in the adult world.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which is not to say they can't be with us all the time. I mean, they don't, you know, need to stay at home all the time and only, but that they're only ever interacting with us, with, you know, whoever
mm-hmm.
it is. So for Jeffrey, it's little Jeffrey is interacting with Jeffrey. And like that, but that we don't want to mentor the little person so that he's not afraid at work. Well, he shouldn't be the one going to work.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it actually just it was a big relief to almost everybody, the sort of, you know, adult part of myself and the little kid parts of myself. Everybody was like, I don't have to be in the wrong place anymore. You know?
Yeah. That's such a helpful thing to see. I don't have to be in the wrong place anymore. So when it's sort of, you know, if we're out in the park with the dog, that's a great time for the little guy to come out. In fact, we might even ask him to come out then. But in times when we're in more adult content, he doesn't need to be there. It's not even appropriate for him to be there. And so in what you're saying, it sounds like it's a relief for everyone to get to have their place and not have to be in a situation they don't really want to be in.
Oh, yeah. And what's beautiful is that conditioning likes to use that word appropriate. But in this instance, it feels really, there's no judgment behind it at all. The little parts of me don't want to go to work, you know? It's like, oh, well, there is an appropriate place for me. And it's, you know, doing something creative or walking the dogs or, you know, whatever that example is.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that, what you just said. I do have a place. So everyone has a place. It's not
mm-hmm.
that someone doesn't have a place. It's just they get to be where they want to be.
Yeah, and I sort of recognize the conditioning behind this idea of making recordings to get somebody to sort of move somebody through the inappropriate place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's part of where the release came from, just the idea of, oh, dropping that. Everybody can have their recordings and everybody can have their, everybody celebrated, you know, all the parts.
Yep, yep. And what I, a part of what I hear in that is a real, you know, one of the phrases Sherry was talking about when she was talking about it last week was talking to the person who wants to do practice. And there's such an invitation to step up and be the grown-up in that.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, as you say, mentoring a little person through a situation that he doesn't even really want to be in, sure, maybe he can do it, maybe he can survive it, but he doesn't want to do it. He's not called to do it. He's not inspired to do it. Whereas the part of you who wants to practice, for example, may be able to step forward to some pretty big challenges that are going to take a lot of support and that sort of thing, but that he's really going to enjoy. You know, he really wants that challenge. He's really up to, you know, wants to be called to those bigger and bigger places.
Yes, yes. And it reminds me of what you practice. There's a part in there about noticing what parts of your recording spontaneously come up.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like as I practice with this, to sort of, to use that word again, the more appropriate parts come up when the adult shows up, you know, there's like, I have a memory of an adult part of my recording.
You have a memory of, is that what you said?
Yeah, like I'll be in a situation and I'm not listening.
Oh, got it, yes.
But I'll have this memory of a recording.
Yes.
And instead of a memory that reassures a really young part,
yeah,
I'm in a situation where the person who wants to practice is called for it, you know? And that part of the recording will spontaneously arise.
That's interesting. I don't, you know, what I just saw when you said that, Jeffrey, and I don't know this. I'll have to look and see for myself. But that, I wonder if that part of what's really helpful about that is that if there you are in a difficult situation, if the memory that's of your recording that's triggered is sort of speaking to a very young person and very reassuring, that would call up that young person that you might not necessarily want at that point.
Mm.
But to have that recording,
yeah,
come up of, you know, whatever it would be, a reminder of, you know, what we really want is to, you know, be generous and to be grateful and to know that everyone's adequate to their own experience and whatever the recording would be, and that that sort of calls up the person who wants to practice and is equal to the situation they're in. How that's so helpful.
Yeah, and it seems like a process, you know, ever since I heard Sherry talking about that stuff and have been looking at it, it seems like a process of, you know, sort of matching. It seems much more in tune with life, I guess, is another way to,
mm-hmm,
to say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a, yeah, it was just so helpful to have that topic introduced and feels like it's really an invitation to the whole Sangha to keep looking at kind of where are we with recording and listening and what's next and what's really helpful and what works and that sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah, and of course, it won't. The richness, I don't think, will ever stop in that practice.
Yeah. I was just speaking with someone about that the other day, about how it's, what's really fun about it is that it's like the whole Sangha is creating it as we go.
Mm.
That someone says something about it on the radio show and that sparks someone else, and then there's a workshop and then the retreat, and then, and just together as people are sharing their experiences with it, it's evolving and changing.
Yeah, seems that way with all of practice, something we really do together,
yeah,
as a team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very similar to what we were looking at the on the Good News Update today.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a team sport and we're all on the same team.
Yeah, and we all have our thing to contribute.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, again, last week Sherry was quoting Ashwini with that, you know, the wisdom of life comes through each of us, and that we all benefit when each person kind of puts out what they're seeing about it, where they are with it.
Mm-hmm. Lots of blessings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Jeffrey.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, we're going to have a break here, and then we'll be right back.
Ready.
The Year of Deepening Practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. Jen, we have another caller.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jen. This is Sandy.
Hey, Sandy. How are you?
Hi.
I'm well. I have actually been trying to call in for a couple of weeks, and I'm in. Oh.
All right. Yay.
I've been having a problem and would really like some guidance in working it out.
Okay.
I've noticed I live in the South, and I have a daughter who is chronically ill, and she lives in the Northeast with her boyfriend, and we're very close, and I do everything I can to support, you know, helping her physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, in her illness, and mm-hmm. she's receiving treatment and da-da-da-da-da,
mm-hmm.
But every so often, I run into a string of like 3 days or 2 days or 4 days clumped together where I seem to check out and feel numb.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've tried to puzzle this through when I come back alive again, and it almost feels like I've reached a point of depletion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the voices are telling me, oh, this is too much for you to handle. You just can't deal with this anymore. You should just take to your bed. This is just horrible. And it takes me, you know, I was talking to my other daughter on the phone during this one of these times, and she said, you know, you sound almost like a stroke victim. Your voice is not you.
Mm-hmm.
And I could use some guidance.
Yeah, so let me just make sure I'm tracking. So it sounds like this is something you deal with kind of on a daily basis?
Yes.
Okay. And so you work with it, you're very close to her, you do everything you can on many different levels to assist.
Yes.
and do what you can. And then at a certain point, there's kind of a shutdown.
Yeah.
And are you, as that, let's see how to ask it, as it's approaching, are you aware of a conversation of, oh my gosh, this is so much, I can't do it anymore, or are you just sort of guessing that that conversation must be happening?
I'm guessing that it must be happening because I'm not aware of it until I'm coming out of the other side.
And are you aware when you're going into it that, like, are there behavior changes? Do you stop calling her? Or do you stop? Is that sort of what happens?
No, I don't make any changes for her because I have to be on for her always.
Okay.
But she's the only person who gets any of my energy. I shut down with myself, my husband, my other children,
okay.
neighbors, you know, I managed to stay awake for her.
Uh-huh. Okay, got it. And it feels like it's definitely related to this particular content.
It does. I feel depleted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I usually put her first name in front of it. I'll just call her Jane and say, I call it Jane depletion,
okay.
You know, because I just feel like, whoa, I have nothing left to give.
Uh-huh. And yet in these however many days it is, you do still keep giving to her.
Yes, I do. Nobody else, though. Poor my husband. He has to hear,
right.
I have nothing left to give.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so the shutdown looks like you're tired, sleeping a lot, that
yes.
sort of thing? Uh-huh.
Yes. I can't. In fact, I call it, quote, unquote, take to my bed.
Okay. And is that pretty much what it is? You're mostly
it is. I can't. I'm sluggish. I can't lift my arms. I couldn't take a walk if you wanted me to.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so would depression go along with it? Does that feel like it's in there somewhere?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And so tell me about the, when you say it's a problem, I know this sounds silly, but tell me about that. What particularly about it is a problem?
I feel like it's a problem because I'm unavailable to myself and to anyone else except her.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I know that life doesn't go on forever and ever, and I'd like to be present in every moment. But when I wake up at the end of 2, 3, or 4 days,
yeah.
I'm like, whoa, you know, I wouldn't even have been able to tell you that I was breathing during those days, except that here I am in the days of past.
And any idea what has you come out the other side?
Gosh, I'd be guessing here, Jan, but I feel like, you know, I've given myself time to rejuvenate. And so my mind, my body, and my spirit is able to claw its way back to the surface from being underwater.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what it sounds like is you're looking for a way to continue to be available to your daughter
yes.
in this way that doesn't result in this periodic depletion.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not the least bit interested in having these little episodes of depletion.
Yeah. And yet as of right now, it sounds like you don't have a whole lot of clues of what's suddenly causing the depletion. Except it sounds like it's taxing all the time. But in other words, why are you able to go for, I don't know, does this happen monthly or weekly or what's the cycle there?
Probably monthly.
Okay. So for, 27 days, you're doing okay. And then
yep.
for 3 or 4, not so much.
I guess in my mind, I'm not sure, you know, but in my mind I see that I have finite strength and energy, and that after
yeah.
27 days I've run out
yeah.
and I need to shut down for 2 or 3 days and then I can go again.
Yeah. So if we
that sounds very silly when I say it out loud, Jen.
It sounds very silly.
It does.
Say more.
If I were a really good mother, oh gosh, I can hear the voices talking already, then I wouldn't have finite amount of energy. I'd have energy always.
Yeah. And that's really going to be the key, isn't it?
Is
it to is. Bring the unconscious voices up to the surface.
Yeah.
Because I suspect you're right, that there's a whole pretty significant conversation that's happening underneath, probably just underneath the surface, just below the level of awareness, that's really driving a lot of what goes on in the cycle.
Can you talk more about that, Jen? I'm not sure I'm with you.
Well, in other words, it seems likely that as the month goes through, let's just take what you just said. So a good mother would have infinite amount of attention and energy and all of that and wouldn't need
right.
to do this, wouldn't need to, you know, go to bed for 3 days to get her resources back.
Right.
So very likely there's a lot more where that came from.
Oh, as in, oh, you're not a good mother.
Exactly.
Look, you're having these feelings of depletion. And you're having these worn down, run down. Your arms are longer than your legs. You know, you can't look up at the beautiful blue. I live in the South. It's gorgeous here.
Yeah.
And I just, I tune out. Yeah. Are these the voices tuning me out?
Well, it sure sounds like it. And what I would imagine, I mean, because this is just kind of the way it always works, is that it's the voices. It's egocentric karmic conditioning, ultimately, that's depleting the energy.
Oh.
Right? Because what we can know is, and I mean, you know this, because you've practiced for quite a while, and you've seen this, I'm sure, in other, with other content areas, that it can seem like there's this content that's creating the suffering, and it really, really feels that way. And as we practice with it, what it always comes around to is, there's a way that ego is using that content to create suffering. And that's the thing that we begin to look at. Okay, so now with this new content that feels really, really real and really, really true, and, you know, what do I do about it? We begin to look kind of in that scientist or investigator sort of way. Okay, now what is ego doing to use this content to create suffering? Because surely there's a way for me as a loving mom of my child, my adult child, surely there's a way for me to support her and to love her unconditionally and do all those things I want to do without me needing to end up in this depleted place. Now, what is that? What would that sustainable relationship look like?
Well, it wouldn't look like having to take to my bed
right.
3 days out of the month.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what it sounds like to me where you are is simply at the process, not so much of trying to change anything, so not so much trying not to get to the depleted place, not taking to my bed, trying to stay up and gut it through, but instead giving yourself a period of time, you know, maybe the next month or whatever it is, to really, really chart everything you can see about it. You've done process mapping before, yeah?
You just blurbed out there for a
okay.
minute. Could you?
Sure. Have you done a process map before? Are you familiar with that process?
No, I really haven't done them.
Okay. So I'm trying to think. I know we have it somewhere on our website. And if you email the guest master, I'm sure we can point you to a link. But
I will.
It would be a really helpful process to do because essentially all it is walking yourself through something exactly like what you're talking about, an area where we see ourselves in a pattern of suffering over and over and over again and where there are all these blind spots. You know, how is that happening? How do I keep ending up needing to go to bed for 3 and 4 days at a time?
Okay,
what is
so this is my process, and what you're proposing is that this is the content happens to be my daughter's illness right now, but this is probably a bigger process than just this content.
Yes, most very likely. And it might look really different in different situations, and so it can be hard to catch on to the similarities. For example, in another area of your life, it might not be that you end up taking to your bed for 3 or 4 days, but it might be shutting you down in some other way.
Good point, yeah.
And so to begin to really look at, okay, so in this step, what are the voices in my head saying? What are the sensations in my body? Kind of on every level, what's going on with me now in this part of the process? You know, so,
okay.
And each day charting it, like the day that you feel like, oh, you love her and you have all the energy in the world and you could talk to her all day long, you know, what are the voices saying on that day? What are the sensations on the body in that day? Okay, and then in another day where it feels like, oh, I'm kind of getting tired of this. I don't, you know, what are the voices saying on that day? What are the sensations in my body on that day? I'm really, really charting it just to simply begin to bring awareness to it. Because so often, just that process of bringing awareness to something is the place that offers us a different choice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, as if I have a choice to not get into that spot of depletion.
Yes. And the part that sort of the pernicious part that, that ego can play in it is as soon as we realize, wait, I have a choice here. I don't have to take to my bed. Without having spent any time really looking at the process, it will just say, well, see, you have a choice. So why are you making that choice? You shouldn't make that choice anymore. Which is why it's so important to put the awareness piece first. So to not to try to, quote, make a choice, make a different choice, without having seen what's going on and why you're ending up in that situation. So
that's why the process map would be so important.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Because the focus is on the awareness instead of on a change in the behavior to begin with.
Thank you. Thank you. I will email the guest master and ask for that information. Thank you so much, Jen.
You're most welcome, Sandy. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. And good night to you too, Michael.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, Sandy. Then we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about open air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Jen, we have another caller.
All right, perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Jen. Michael?
Hey, Tracy.
Hi.
Hey. Wow, this is like nothing short of a miracle getting on the call. Thank you.
It kind of always is, isn't it?
It's like a timing.
About 3 or 4 radio shows a week.
Oh, my gosh, it's like the, total timing game. So I'm calling. Since I've been listening, it's, of course, been stirring other things up. And what I've been looking at, I can kind of resonate with what some of the other callers are calling about, in that I've really been watching my relationship with emptiness and seeing how my kind of karmic default is to keep my life really full. I just have a karmic disposition to a full schedule, full refrigerator, full everything is just full. and so I've really intentionally been trying to keep more space in my schedule and in my life, and just looking at my relationship with what when there is space and really trying to trust that place of life coming in more when there is space. And it was I guess what I'll talk about is just the difference between yesterday and today. Mm-hmm. And yesterday it felt like the morning started with someone that I was close to getting, it was actually my mother, getting really triggered about something and having all this big emotion around it. And of course it kind of triggered a little bit of something in me, and then just kind of a lot of things unfolded that day that had a lot of sensation to them. And since I've been looking at sensation and my relationship to it, it felt like I was just practicing all day. And the day, you know, at the end of the day, it felt really clean. Like it felt like more centered person navigated through the day, where like today nothing really special was going on, and I was going to go to this movement class and I forgot my shoes, and I've been pretty good about keeping a schedule, and then it all of a sudden was, well, I'm not going to do that, should I do this and should I do that and maybe do this, so well, let's finish this with the work. And the whole afternoon just felt like when I left my office, I was completely depleted, and it wasn't like there was big conversation about anything. It feels like conditioning just took over without me even realizing it was taking over. Like I spent too long at my desk, and I left there like depleted, and like it feels like I just lost all my energy.
Yeah.
And so it was this weird place of, okay, life came in, I forgot my shoes, go to plan B. And maybe I wasn't super intentional about what plan B was going to be, because I noticed my mind, wow, I could do this, and maybe let's do that. And well, maybe let's just do this, you know? And it felt like, it was like I kind of got wacky, or my attention got a little bit wacky, and so I guess I'm trying to talk about that.
Well,
and it's just such a, you know, so what I've been playing with is, you know, wanting to have more space in my life, and, you know, wanting to have a mentor kind of keep the big picture. Mm-hmm. And I have this really strong planner, which I know is an identity that totally fills things up and gets excited about things. And so I'm trying to, like, play with all of them, mm-hmm. not play with all of them, but be really aware of them. Yeah. And today it felt like almost like no one took charge or the indecisiveness or almost like I left space, like, okay, life, tell me what to do, and then I kind of bounce all around in the meantime.
Yeah. Boy, there's just so many things in it, and so instructive to have 2 days like that back-to-back, huh?
Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. It's just amazing how yesterday it felt like there was so much going on, therefore it kept me so vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, when it was just like, oh, you know, looks like a pretty easy day at work, and I'm going to go take this class, and it felt like, you know, I can kind of skate through the day, and maybe that's the issue that they
really suspect that that's the issue, more than the particular content or how much content or that sort of thing is in your day, that the one, especially yesterday, you described that you started off with a somewhat difficult situation. And what I was projecting onto that is sort of a call to attention. That
it really was.
To pay attention in order to
And today it felt like, wow, I just want to be present to life. And instead of really being present to life, I got my attention got flitted in all kinds of directions.
Yep.
And so it is. It's like trying to sift through how do you give enough, or how, like, what is spacious in a way that allowing life to come in and then direct from there. Or also notice sometimes I'm drawn to things and my attention goes somewhere, and then life kind of really supports that. And but it's just a fascinating place to.
It really, really is. I mean, I think we could do amazing workshops and write books and a series of radio shows and that sort of thing on the topic, because I agree with you. I think it's really, really interesting, because so often what we're trained to equate space, or, you know, in our schedule or vacation or, quote, time off or that sort of thing with unconsciousness. But, of course, we're not conscious to that process. It doesn't feel like that. But so often, you know, people will talk about how they end up hating vacations because not realizing it, go into the vacation thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to have space. I'm going to have time. And ego turns that into, I don't have to be present. And that's the vacation for the heart. That is so a recipe for misery and suffering. And that, you know, as you're talking, I just saw it really is a skill to be able to bring the same level of presence that you're bringing to a difficult interaction with your mother or a big day at work or whatever, that really requires you, or at least at this point in practice, you know you need to be present through that, bringing that same level of presence to, quote, free time, to space in the schedule.
Yeah, boy, this is exactly why I knew I needed a call tonight. That's what I needed to hear, because it feels like, you know, ego just grapples. It just hates that place of spaciousness. I often feel like there's a lot of sensation there. And especially at nighttime, I feel like it's more vulnerable. And being able to really keep my, I have to be very intentional about my attention, even if my attention is on just trying to be in a being place or a more spacious place.
I guess
it's a good practice reminder of, I hate to use the word vigilance because it sounds so police academy or something, but it feels like if my attention isn't really, if I'm not in being in charge of my attention, it is this, it's kind of a craziness in a way of, like, today I didn't even feel like there was huge content there. It was just, I just wasn't in charge, and I just felt the depletion from it.
Yeah. You know, and as you're talking, I just saw that sort of as you play with it and you transition into learning that skill of bringing that same level of presence to the spaciousness, it might be supportive to create, you know, funny, but to create a schedule of spaciousness. So to actually schedule in, for these 30 minutes, I'm going to just be. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to be.
And, you know, Jen, it is probably the hardest thing for me, and it's something I've been trying to do 15 minutes a day, and especially when I transition from work to coming home. And, you know, I resonated with that first caller about how, you know, there's that place of like, well, life's coming in, I got to go do something else. And, and, you know, really being disciplined about, no, this is, you know, that everything else can wait. This is really important. It is thanks for saying that, because I'm going to make sure that, I'm going to keep following through on that commitment.
Yeah.
And do you know what my favorite practice tool is these days?
What's that?
Whatever my focus is on, you know, like weekly or whatever, I don't want to switch it. I write it on a piece of paper and I take a picture of that piece of paper. And it's the wallpaper on my phone.
That's a great idea. Wow.
And I switch it out. It's so fun to switch it out. And so, you know, I use my phone for my timer and so many things. I'm using it so often. And so anyway, just to see it in addition to hearing it, it's been really fun.
Boy, that's another show. We could have an entire show on all the ways to use your smartphone to support practice.
That was great. I loved Alex's last week. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you so
well,
much,
thank
Jen.
You, all right.
Thank you, Michael.
You,
okay. All right, bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. You're listening to Open Air. Yeah, lots of fun smartphone ideas out there, aren't they?
I know. That's really, I love the, you know, taking the picture in it. What I just saw in it is it's kind of an invitation to, you know, each month or week or whatever it is. I mean, if you want to just make a fun, creative thing. So it's all pretty and, you know, I love to look at it and, yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. It's Isabel from San Francisco.
Hey, Isabel. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Great.
So I am calling in as part of my commitment to call once every 6 weeks or so.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I'm glad I made it on in the last couple of minutes. And let's see. I've been working through the resistance email class that I fell behind in while it was going.
Uh-huh.
And I had a really interesting experience doing an exercise of like letting go of a belief.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing with letting go of the belief that there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Just play. Just see how it goes.
Right. Don't have to commit.
You know, we'll go back to it later if you need to.
Oh, believe me, I already have. But, it was amazing. I saw I did it for three days, and it became really clear that either I'm practicing trying to fix myself, or I'm practicing accepting everything and like widening the circle of acceptance.
Wow. Wow. That really, in every moment, you're doing one of those two things.
That's what became clear.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah. But, you know, what was really interesting was that when I was doing that, a lot of fear of death came up.
Hmm. Did that surprise you?
No. I mean, it did in the moment, but then, you know, when I looked at it, I could just kept, well, you know, it's sort of like letting go and letting go of the notion of the separate self.
Yeah. And of course, who's going to be afraid of that?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, ego's going to hate that. If you really see that, you see that clear choice of the two places your attention's going to be. Of course, it's like we were talking about with Sandy. If you really see it, you're going to make the choice to be here, to be in full acceptance of everything. You just are. You won't have to make any decisions. You won't have to set any goals. You won't have to... I mean, when you really see that clearly, that is the decision you're going to make. And ego knows that, and so it goes crazy trying to get, you know, how to get you back into the little box, fear.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and, like, the biggest fear, you know, or one of the biggest fears imaginable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, just talking about it, I can feel, like, a lot of like, it almost feels like I've been punched in the solar plexus, like a lot of sensation and tightness,
mm-hmm.
like right in my chest, in the core.
And is that the same sensation that comes with the fear?
I don't know. And that's a good question that makes me curious to look and see more what those sensations are when the thoughts of death come up.
Yeah. So you said you practiced with it for 3 days, and then what?
Well, so because the suggestion, you know, was like for the email class to practice with it, I think, you know, for
right.
48 hours or something.
Uh-huh.
So then I went on to the next assignment.
Uh-huh. I see. So it wasn't like you saw that and were able to make that choice for 3 days and then got thrown back into... the dark room.
Yeah, no, it's more like, you know, I had only committed to do it for those few days as part of the assignment, but, you know, as we're saying, it sounds like it would be something good to do all the time.
You could extend it to, say, the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. What comes up as you look at that?
Oh, immediately the fear came up again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, I'm really going to have to let go of who I am.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just so clear in that whose fear it is, because how could that be anything but glorious for Isabel?
Mm.
You know? I mean, to have these two choices – and everything's going to be completely okay? I mean, who's going to be afraid of that?
Right, and I'm going to die anyway.
Exactly. Might as well be an exception.
Right.
That's
wow,
a good
that's
point.
Actually, it is. I'm like, oh, it's maybe like a good counter to it.
Exactly. You know, if you could promise me eternal life, maybe we'd talk, but...
Yes, but it's not actually going to change anything. And accepting things is not going to make death come any sooner either. I think that's been kind of the unconscious message, that if you accept, you'll, like, die, like, immediately or something.
Right. And you lived through at least 48 hours.
Yeah, I did. And it was quite enjoyable, actually.
And it was quite enjoyable. Which is such a great thing to record. It really is.
Oh, that's true.
You know, here I am. This is what I'm practicing. And I'm just having a great time. And I'm just waiting this breadcrumb for when I know, you know, it's going to pull me back into whatever it's going to pull me back into. But I've got this recording that will remind me, which doesn't necessarily mean I'll be immediately pulled back into the light room. I might be, who knows. But to keep having that reminder of what's possible, what I want, you know, what the being really wants, not what ego's afraid of, not what ego says I am, not what's going to happen, but what I really want, to have that recorded and to have that to listen to over and over and over.
And to, like, record it, and it'll probably come in with fear of death, and that's predictable. And
exactly, so that when it does, there's kind of a sense of, oh, hey, she said that was going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't have to believe it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So maybe pick it back up and keep on, huh?
Yeah, I will. I'm inspired to. It was quite enjoyable. So.
Very good. And we'll hear from you at least in 6 weeks, if not before.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Isabel.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Isabel. Well, that was a fabulous way to end the show.
It really was. That is such a good reminder. We're going to die anyway. So how about being acceptance?
Yes. 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 I mean, it's so great when the question is so clear.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think I'll choose the light room, the joy, the fun, the lit up, the excitement, acceptance, compassion. Could go on and on.
Yes, indeed. Well, I've had a great time tonight.
I sure have, too. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.